I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. You know, hallelujah. Amen. Embrace that truth because it's hard. It goes counter to everything we are and that we learn in this world because most of us live in a subtle fear that we're not measuring up to God, right? And if it's not that, it's just some other fear. And honestly, that formless fear that seems to come from nowhere but lies like a blanket over us, that's not from God. That's our enemy. And it's funny we're coming to baptism today because there's a quiet fear that lays over that sometimes. And it shows up in how Christians think about it. That you have to be good enough to be baptized. Which reflects sometimes, and I talked to a woman in our complex yesterday who grew up going to church, South Delta Baptist, and somewhere along the line in her teens, enjoying youth group and whatever, she stopped going and then she kind of started doing other stuff. And now she feels that God's angry at her, that I'm going to judge her, and she's missed it. And I just love that. We're not slaves to fear. We're a child of God. He's put a spirit in us that cries out not, "Don't hit me, Daddy." It cries out, "Abba, Father, Daddy, Father." Yes? That's just, and I need to hear this over and over again because I live in fear. And the Holy Spirit wants to wash that away. And she was afraid I'd judge her and condemn her. And what I want to say to her is, no, my dear. Jesus, arms out, says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened." If you're tired, if you're afraid of carrying this load of sin and guilt, Jesus just says, "Come to me. I've done it all. You don't have to clean up to come to church or come to me. You just come. All you bring is your broken self, and you fall at his feet, and he wraps his arms around you." Just like Daishi's or Baishogei is holding his daughter. That's what God does. He snuggles us in his arms. That's all you have to do is be willing to be snuggled. Amen?
Amen.
Please, my brothers and sisters, let's remind each other. I forget all the time. It's easy to motivate people with fear, but grace transforms. Abigail and Patrick got married yesterday. It was great. The one that made me laugh most of all was when Brother Sylvester was leading Abigail around and introducing to her potential mates, you know, this one? No, 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 no. That one? No, 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 no. He took one young, well-dressed man, probably about 15 years old, suit and tie and everything, brought him right to Abigail, and she went, "No, no, 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 no." And then she came to Patrick, and her heart melted. Woohoo! It was a good day, and it was actually a lovely picture of what marriage is, isn't it? I choose you, Patrick and Abigail. May God's richest blessing be on your life. May the joy that we had yesterday flow out from you guys. Do you say Beresich or Beresich? May from the Beresiches flow grace and kindness that invites others into this relationship with God. Welcome, Linda. Yes, welcome, Linda, Patrick's mom. A pleasure to have you here. So say hi to them again after the service. And on that note, it's also a very significant day because I can't believe, though he's turning 85, he only looks 66. It's Pastor Paul's birthday today. For 85, you just look so good, brother. Oh, I got that wrong? Wait till it's his turn. Wait till Pastor Paul has the microphone. Yes, yes, I know. On a somber note, and I want you to turn your hearts and attention to this. In the book of Acts, a prophet named Agabus gets up at one point and predicts a famine that will come over the land. And when it came over the land, we see Christians moving into action to raise funds to care for their fellow believers who were struggling and starving. And it's always been a tradition of Christians. You need to know, and you probably are aware, and sometimes these things overwhelm us because we're so connected to the world, but the largest food crisis since the Second World War, since Europe fell into smash devastation and people were starving left, right, and center, has happened again. And it covers a vast number of countries: Somalia, South Sudan, Kenya, Northeast Nigeria, Ethiopia, and Yemen. both by crop failure and unfortunately by the wickedness of men as areas fall into war. At this moment, 20 to 22 million people are in dire need, hungry, close to starvation. That number is predicted to go up if circumstances don't improve. Actually, up to 40% of South Sudan's population. South Sudan broke away and was recognized as a new country less than 10 years ago, primarily Christian, between Sudan, Muslim-majority Sudan, and Kenya, and not bordering Uganda, but and Ethiopia. And it's just riven by civil wars, and hunger is terrible. And I've put an insert in your bulletin and on our website on ways you can donate. But unfortunately, as almost always, hunger primarily affects moms and kids, right? So what we've encouraged you to do and to consider it is over and above your regular giving, because the Bible is pretty clear. You give to your local community where goodness and mercy and grace and help flow out to this neighborhood. So you give to the church you attend, the local community. But above that, I'd like you to consider giving to this need. MCC, which is Mennonite Central Committee, to which we are affiliated, and World Vision Canada both have relief operations going there. I've given the information, that little insert in the bulletin, and it's on our website. So pray about it. If God says give, please do. We're considering and praying over as overseers whether at our next benevolent offering we might take a special offering for this. But in the meantime, as the Spirit leads and your conscience dictates, consider how you might help in the name of Jesus Christ those who are in need. Let me just pray for a moment before we transition. Lord, you are the master of this world. And when things like this arise, and with our ability to know the sorrow and brokenness in all this world, sometimes we are just overwhelmed. And none of us in this congregation is a billionaire. But I pray that you would make us sensitive, that you would keep us from being given to the God of money by the act of regular generosity. So we pray for this need, and we pray you'd open the floodgates of relief, and you'd bring peace to these countries, and you'd stop war, and in the name of Jesus Christ, you would bring food and relief, and better yet, rain and good crops to these countries. And we pray for the men and women and children affected, that you would bring peace in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for World Vision and Mennonite Central Committee and those who, in the name of Christ, serve, that it would be a witness to your goodness. Guide us as we consider giving. In Jesus' name, amen. Baptism. Kiki, Estella, and Timmy, we're going to go out there, and they're going to get baptized. And it's like the highlight of a spiritual life. I still remember my day, Valentine's Day, 1982, in an outdoor swimming pool in Whistler, wading through the snow, hopping in the pool, that I said yes formally to Jesus. And what I want to use today as a metaphor is that baptism is kind of like the citizenship ceremony that you went under when you became a Canadian, for those of you who did. And so think about it. Why do people come to Canada? I was talking with Ted about this. Why did his family leave Paraguay? And basically said, for an easier life, you know. Ted's dad was a pastor and a teacher, and they had to have a hobby farm to feed the family. It was lots of hard work. No one knew that 45 years later, Mennonite Paraguayan farmers would be vastly prosperous as they have become. Then it was just hard scrabble living, and 7 days a week caring for the chickens and milking the cows and working hard. And so they came to Canada for a better life. And I know some of you have come here because it's relief from war and it's security. And people come for a better life because coming to Canada offers a better chance. For now, Nothing's guaranteed in this world of men and women. No country lies at peace forever or at the top of the heap or security. But for now, Canada's a good place to come. And I have a question for some of you, though. How many of you have become Canadians through this ceremony? Put your hands up if you become a Canadian through this ceremony. Wow. I would say, and some of you are, okay, congratulations. And probably more of you are planning. But for me, who was born into this country, I really know so little of this until people have started inviting me there. And my guess is those of you who've been through the ceremony know more about the country that I was born into and my parents were born into than I do. God bless you. But you know, what we're having today in baptism, that is a citizenship ceremony, if you will have it. That's what I want you to think about, with a few differences. Because becoming a Christian is becoming a member of God's kingdom, of God's country. It's what you're actually doing. And it's a lot like becoming a Canadian citizen. Because to become a Canadian citizen, I went on the website and sort of ran through it, and I was a little bit overwhelmed. So the first thing you do is you pass a test. By the way, I read the test and looked through some of it. How many questions do you have to have right? What percentage? Is there a percentage? 75%. Okay, thanks, Darcy knows. Hey, Darcy's the ringer.
Give her the mic.
Yeah, give her the mic. Darcy works for Immigration Canada, or what do you call it? Yeah, roughly that's it. So you pass a test, you attend a ceremony, and you affirm an oath of allegiance to the sovereign. In our case these days, it's Queen Elizabeth II. And then you commit to responsibilities and rights. Now, about the citizenship test. You guys recognize this? It's a 68-page booklet. And I went on and I go, oh, man, my daughter is working through the learner's test, and it's the driver's test, the L. Man, I mean, I'm so glad I got mine 45 years ago or whatever it was. It was easy peasy. Nowadays, I'm surprised anybody can drive. But 68-page booklet with lots of pictures and history, and you're supposed to study and ask a family member or friend to help you practice the questions. And then you call a local school or school board, a college, a community center, or a local organization that provides services to immigrants and ask for information on citizenship classes. Then you have to have a working knowledge of French or English. And then, and I will only say part of it, you have to have a knowledge of Canada and citizenship criteria. The chief characteristics of Canadian political and military history, of social and cultural history, of physical and political geography, I haven't stopped yet, Canadian system of government as a constitutional monarchy, and the characteristics of Canada other than those referred to in paragraphs A through D. That's the catch-all. Then you have to demonstrate you have a general understanding of participation in the Canadian democratic process. New immigrants actually know more about this than us Canadians and take it more seriously. Participation in Canadian society, including volunteerism, respect for the environment, and protection of Canada's natural, cultural, and architectural heritage. This beautiful, magnificent building. Respect for the rights, freedoms, and obligations set out in the laws of Canada and the responsibilities and privileges of citizenship other than those referred to in paragraph A to C. So it's that's the catch-all. That's where they throw the surprise questions. A lot. You need to know who you are, what your rights and responsibilities are, right? What you're entitled to and what you're obligated to do. And then you take the Canadian Oath of Citizenship. I affirm that I will be faithful and bear true allegiance to Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, Queen of Canada, her heirs and successors, that's when King Charles comes along, and that I will faithfully observe the laws of Canada and fulfill my duties as a Canadian citizen. Amen? I was talking with Ted and I changed, because it says, I swear or affirm, but we're Mennonites. So we affirm. Ask me about that if you want to know more about Anabaptist theology. And becoming a Christian actually is very, very similar. Because becoming a Christian is becoming a citizen of the kingdom of God. And some of you has come here for a better life. And that's okay for a while, but there's no guarantee that life in Canada will always be better. But citizenship in the kingdom of God is citizenship in the unchanging, perfect, never-ending kingdom with the holy and just ruler who always cares for his subjects. Amen and amen. Forever and ever. It's coming to a country who has no walls around it, where every refugee who comes with his or her need and falls at the feet of the king and says, "Will you let me in?" The answer is yes. If you submit to the king, he lets you in. There's no barrier. Refugees from every country, every circumstance, every situation are welcome forever. There's no wall up. All you need to do is say, "Lord Jesus, I come. I have nothing. I need you. The door is open." Amen? Amen? He has built no walls. So citizenship in God's kingdom. Well, you pass a test. You attend a ceremony and affirm an oath of allegiance. And you commit to responsibilities and receive rights. So let's start with it. You pass a test. Now, 75% of 68-page booklet, you got to study hard, and it's tough. But you know what the score you need to get to pass the test to get in the kingdom of heaven? You got to be perfect. You got to get 100% on the test, or you fail. If you don't get 100%, it's epic fail. You're out, you're toast, you're done. You have to have 100%, and you can't have made a mistake anywhere. You can't waver. Your answers have to be completely holy and right on all the time. And the sad news is no one is able, are they? So imagine you're going for your driver's test, or your L, and you know, honestly, because I've been talking to people, Corbin took it recently and my daughter took it last week, what they love to do is throw questions at you in the learner's test, in getting your L, that are not covered in the booklet and that are not covered in any of the practice tests. They just want to get you. So you're chewing along and you go, "I know it, I know it, I know it." What? And they throw you off. And I think, honestly, the goal is for 50% of the people to fail it right off the bat. But imagine that the test required 100%. You had to be perfect to pass the test. Well, who could? There's a wonderful scene, and it's terrifying, in the book of Revelation where a scroll is held open. And is anybody worthy to open this scroll? And John, watching this scene, weeps and weeps and weeps because no one is found worthy to open the scroll until the Lamb who was slain comes along, and he was worthy. Imagine if for that driver's license test, you could send in the very person who wrote it and programmed the computer. If we call that, the English word for that is a ringer. What if you had a ringer to take the test? Well, that's the truth. To get into the kingdom of God, we've all got a ringer. Jesus took the test for us. Jesus took the citizenship for everybody, and he passed. He was our special friend. He took the test, and he got a perfect score. And what was interesting about that is he was able to transfer this perfect score to every one of us who came to him. He took that perfect score, and he just didn't give it to us. He put it inside of us by his Spirit. And the Bible says this. It's just so lovely. "You are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God." The one who could pass the test. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Jesus Christ became our 100% righteousness. Amen? Amen? I took that test and failed. And that's where the fear is all the time, right? That I'm going to fail before God. Well, of course you are. But the glorious message of Christianity, of Jesus Christ, is he's transferred his winning score, his 100% righteousness to you. You have no fear because you've been adopted by Jesus Christ and given his righteousness, his passing score. So you've passed the citizenship test. When you place your faith in Jesus Christ, you pass the test. And then you attend a ceremony and affirm an oath of allegiance to the sovereign. And may I say, that's what we're going to do in about 5.5-6 minutes. We're going to go attend a citizenship ceremony for Kiki, Estella, and Timmy. We're going to go outside. That ceremony is baptism. And in baptism, amongst other things, there are some countries in the world that don't allow you dual citizenship, yeah? You have to renounce your citizenship in one country before you take it in another. The truth is, in baptism, think about it, you're renouncing citizenship in the kingdom of the devil, the kingdom of this world, which is still under his sway. He's a losing, fallen ruler. The war has begun that takes it from him. But when you get baptized, you're saying, I no longer belong in your kingdom. I've been transferred to the kingdom of light, whose king is Jesus Christ. And you're taking out membership in that new membership, citizenship in that new kingdom, in the everlasting country, the everlasting invincible kingdom. And that's what Kiki, Estella, and Timmy are about to do. And we take an oath as well. Yes? Here's the oath of citizenship. Say with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. That's it. Pretty simple, eh? That's a citizenship, oath of citizenship. For with your heart you believe and are made right with God. Jesus transfers his winning score to you. And with your mouth you say what you believe, and so you are saved. So you become a citizen of the everlasting kingdom. And baptism is that citizenship ceremony. So we'll say an oath out there, affirm an oath, and then we'll go the ceremony. The baptism. Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And if being baptized is the ceremony of citizenship, receiving the Holy Spirit is your certificate. Now, what we've done here is different than what the early church did. Because when the early church says, repent and be baptized and you'll receive the Holy Spirit, that was viewed as one thing, right? It came together. You repented and you believed, you heard the good news, and you said, let's go get baptized, and you did it the same day. And so sometimes, because we've separated it so much, we have this idea that you get saved, and then you wait a while until you clean up yourself enough and you become a good enough Christian to get baptized. Or you're going to get married, so then you should get baptized. Wrong, wrong, wrong. You get saved, and then you get baptized. You will never be good enough to be baptized. You're good enough because he saved you. He transferred his winning score. So let's get on with that. Some of you have been waiting way too long. If you believe Jesus Christ, no, we'll teach you. We'll spend a little bit of class, but let's get on with it. Believe, get baptized. It's your citizenship ceremony. It's your way of honoring him in obedience. Am I looking grouchy here? I do that sometimes. But it's meant to. Separating it gets this crazy, crazy idea, and then it comes over to communion. You think you have to be good enough to take communion. God says, sort out your life. And if you're really convicted about something, straighten it out. But you don't earn communion. You don't come here because you're good enough. We come to Jesus because we're not good enough, and we need his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness. This is a table of forgiveness. That's a table of new. That's a tank of new life and cleansing. You just do it. We never earn it. He did it. Settle down. All right. Okay, I feel the Spirit. I was born again into a Pentecostal church. Amen. The Spirit moves. Get baptized. It's just so great. Guys, I wish I could do it again because it's so great. I'm going to ask you some questions, and you get to say out loud that Jesus is your Lord and he died for your sins. And that is speaking life to the world. It's speaking triumph over the enemy. It's the hallelujah. It's the eternal life chorus. And you are so blessed to be doing that today.
Amen.
Amen. And then it says, but we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we're eagerly awaiting for him to return as Savior. And when Jesus comes back and reunites heaven and earth, the dwelling of God with the dwelling of men and women, that triumph day, he's crowned fully Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And those of us who know him bow our knees gratefully and with great joy, but everybody does. That's when he assumes the kingship that is rightfully his. And then you receive your certificate, which is getting your name written in the book of life. Nothing evil will be allowed to enter, nor anyone who practices shameful idolatry and dishonesty, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. When God calls you by name by his Holy Spirit, and you respond yes in the Lord Jesus, and he fills you with his Spirit, your name is written in the book of life. You're on the voting rolls of heaven. You have your registration card. You are a citizen of heaven. Amen?
Amen.
And then I'm going to end with this. And then we get rights and responsibilities. Our rights? Because we do have rights. We inherit with Jesus. And you know what Jesus inherits? What does Jesus inherit? Everything. Everything is yours in Christ. The new heavens and the new earth, it's yours. It's mine. Woo! You know, if you're lucky and your parents, they can leave you a sizable inheritance of money, but you pour it into houses and cars or whatever that's temporary, but what you get from Jesus lasts forever. Amen.
Amen.
And then you have a responsibility. And the responsibility is to follow Jesus. I'll just put it simply. If you love me, you'll obey my commands. And I'm just going to give you, because this sums up the whole Bible right here. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And the second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Amen?
Amen.
You inherit everything, and you love with his power. Kiki, Estella, Timmy, come on forward. We're going to greet some new citizens of heaven today. Give me a hand.